Hello and welcome to the UK Gamers Podcast. Well, as the year winds to an end, we're getting a bit short on game conventions and stuff to talk about, but there are still a few out there. I'm not sure if you could still get tickets for it now, but Sheffield Furnace on the, I believe it's 9th and 10th of October, is always a great show to go for if you're into RPGs. Really good little show, definitely well worth attending if you're into that sort of stuff. If board gaming is more your thing, and obviously other games as well, then Essen is the one you definitely want to get yourself to. That's over the channel on the 19th of October, I believe. That all kicks off. Definitely something to do before you die, and I was pretty close to going this year, but unfortunately it looks like it's not going to happen. So next year maybe, let's hope. And finally, the show that I'm most likely to get to is the Warfare show at Reading. I believe this is the 19th and 20th of November this year. Definitely worth going to that. Nice little show. Really good for wargaming. So that's three really good shows for your role-playing, your board gaming, and your wargaming. There are probably other shows out there. So, you know, if you are running a convention or a show, please get in contact with me and I'll try and include you in my shows, you know, when you're up and coming, let people know what's going on. Now, Christmas means it must be time to release huge amounts of computer games, and that is the case. I'm only going to concentrate on some 360 highlights. Deus Ex, Driver and Space Marine all look pretty interesting and are all now available. I'm waiting for feedback from a few of my friends who've bought these games, but I can see myself getting Deus Ex and Space Marine as something to put on my Christmas list, so they're definitely in there. Driver, I'm in two minds about. I've played a demo of Driver and Space Marine, and both are, you know, they're pretty good fun, so, you know, who knows, we'll see. But the biggies are either coming out real soon or hopefully this year. Elder Scrolls, Mass Effect 3, Battlefield 3 and Gears of War 3. Really looking good. Elder Scrolls Skyrim seems to be even more awesome than Oblivion. We'll have to wait and see. Really looking forward to that. And of course Mass Effect 3, got to be done. Battlefield 3, again, Battlefield 2 is very popular with my friends. I've skipped that because I knew Battlefield 3 was coming out, so I might jump back in with Battlefield 3. And of course, Gears of War, always awesome fun. I'm actually hoping for a box set because I don't actually own parts 1 and 2. But there you go. Now, Gears of War is a game that's also now available from Fantasy Flight Games because they've brought it out as a board game. Very interesting. The figures look pretty good, actually. Painted up, they look nice. I've seen a few painted up ones as well. I believe the heroes come in a weird red plastic and the locust guys are kind of a grey or beige plastic. So as unpainted, I'm not sure they're quite so nice, but painted up, they seem to look, be pretty good. And the gameplay, apparently, is not too bad either. So, again, one to keep my eye on. Jolly good fun. Unfortunately, Fantasy Flight Games also caused me a little bit of distress over the last couple of months. They decided to drop Wings of War for whatever reason. All very mysterious, and lots of rumours what this was. I haven't reported on it, because obviously rumours are rumours. And one of the nasty rumours was that Nexus was in real trouble. Well, unfortunately, with the way that Fantasy Flight Games seems to do stuff, that seemed to be the rumour that was most likely, and so it did prove. Nexus, for whatever reason, basically shut the doors, and there were bits and pieces on Board Game Geek and so on about what was going on there. So this was a little bit worrying. This meant Wings of War was a dead product, apparently. However, Out of the Ashes has come a new game. I believe it's Ares Games, A-R-E-S, a new company with a new game. Now, for whatever reason, the Wings of War name, by the sounds of it, doesn't actually belong to the designer. It belongs to Fantasy Flight and Nexus. So the game is going to be rebranded Wings of Glory. Now, not too much information has been coming out, but there have been a few pictures of the new card art and stuff. From what I can tell, basically nothing's changing. A little bit of a layout shift and slightly different colour scheme, but it's basically the same game, and you're going to be able to play all of your Wings of War stuff with Wings of Glory and vice versa. What is interesting, though, is they're talking about doing some new sets with a new set of rules. In particular, I believe the altitude rule is going to be looked at. So that's definitely something I'm going to keep my eye on. I have pretty much every single miniature they released, and most of the box sets and the booster packs as well. So I'm pretty heavily invested in Wings of War for World War One. Not so much the World War Two game. I've only got the original Dawn of War box. What's going to happen with Wings of Glory? I hope it does really well. I think it's an excellent game, and I'm really annoyed because the last set that was announced was my favourite planes from the early war, the Eindecker and the DH-2. What do I mean for? I forget. Anyway, really, really nice set of planes due to come out as miniatures, and that's been put on hold for a bit. Now, obviously, things are happening. Aris, being a new game company, is going to take a little while to get things sorted out. I'm assuming they're going to try and shoot for a pre-Christmas release. I'll have to go back and check the kind of the gossip channels to see what the current situation is. But so far, not a huge amount of information, but what has been coming out is looking good. And of course, Board Game Geek's a great place to go if you want to talk to the designer directly. He often frequents there and is a very friendly chap. Very pleased to see that Wings of War isn't going to go away. It's too good a game to die, in my opinion. Now, moving on, Privateer Press continue to impress me with all sorts of cool stuff. Not so much news about Monster Apocalypse still. A little bit quiet for my taste on what's going on there. I believe there has been some stuff released in the States. I haven't seen it over here in the UK. So it's all, I'm all a little bit vague on what's happening there. Team Covenant are pretty good fans of Monster Apocalypse. I might have to go frequent their website and see what the chatter is about that. However, there's been a lot of buzz about their other two game systems. War Machine is getting the absolutely amazing two-player starter set. That looks like an awesome deal. If you're not in War Machine right now, just buy that. It's awesome. You're going to get Menoth and Kador, so you're going to get your sort of heavily armoured, slow, hit-like-a-train Soviet type, I guess. Or you're going to get your wearing robes and smacking you with something that sets you on fire, religious zealots of Menoth. Absolutely awesome little box set. Basically, you're getting the starter boxes, as they are at the moment, but with an extra load of dudes. Really, really good little deal. I forget the names right now, but basically you're going to get two heavies, I think it's about five dudes, and with the Menoth you're also going to get a light. Absolutely awesome. Now, I'm probably going to pick up the starter because it gets me into Kador quite well. I get a set of Cinerators and a Vanquisher, and I can always use some spare heavy and a spare light. So for me, it's a pretty good deal. The icing on the cake is not only do you get all these really cool figures, but you get the quick start rules, which you get in the normal starters, but you also, by the looks of it, get a miniature version of the Mark II rulebook. And that's pretty cool. And on top of that, you get a little magazine and a little booklet as well. So lots of really cool stuff in there. And the plastic figures are looking really sweet, I have to say. Really, really good stuff. All the kind of war engines are now out, I believe. They look pretty nice. And Menoth seems to have a pretty good war machine if used a certain way. I'm going to have a look at that a bit more closely. I'm not 100% sold on buying a war engine because, you know, they're a very big piece, quite expensive. How much use am I going to get out of them? In a big game, yeah. However, I think War Machine does play well with a fairly small game because of the nature of the game. I've had a lot of fun with the battle boxes. Not doing so well at winning. I keep getting the enemy warcaster down to 1 or 2 points, but not kill him, so then it's end of my turn and they turn around and smack me and I'm dead. So, you know, really good little game. Hope to get a game of that down at the Games Club soon, actually. It's a player who's been told he should get into it and he's not that sure. Well, I happen to have two small battle group forces, so I said, well, I can supply all the figures, just turn up and play. And he seemed interested in that, so might have to try and convert him away from the GW stuff to Privateer Press. Now, talking of tempting people away, Domination is the new Hordes book, looking interesting, in particular because they've also leaked some plastics for Hordes. Now, Hordes at the moment is basically all metal. I'm quite happy to assemble metal, but I'd rather not. It can be a bit of a pain. The only slight disappointment is that the kind of beta, hopefully, versions of the figures aren't quite so inspiring, I have to say. Now, on the Trollblood side, I saw a Blitzer who was all right, but the Mauler just wasn't as nice as the metal figure, I have to say. A bit early to see, but if you want to see those, I believe Bell of Lost Souls was the place that first announced them, so you might want to go check them out. Very, very nice stuff. Going to definitely keep my eye on what's going on at PP. Now, Cypher, also in the 28mm area, has got some really cool stuff for Helldorado coming out. They're slowly working their way through the back catalogue, but they're also working on some new figures, and the Immortals have a slightly interesting kind of Ogre Magi guy with a great big mace. Looks quite interesting. Looking forward to seeing that. But they're also supporting Anima Tactics, and I believe there's a new book that's either out or just about to come out. Really do like the look of both of those game systems. I've heard some naysayers about both systems, but lots of people, pros and cons. One thing I would say is the Helldorado and Anima Tactics figures are worth buying just for the sake that they're quite nice. I think the Helldorado is slightly better quality than the Anima Tactics personally, but even so, there are some real gems in both of those product lines. So definitely going to keep an eye on them as well. Unfortunately, my wallet might be crying because there's all sorts of other good stuff going on. Mantic have continued to work on Kings of War. I believe there is a new rule book in the works, or possibly even out now. Definitely looking forward to seeing that. The elves are getting a little bit of a retooling by the looks of it as well, and of course the extra races are coming on stream as well, so lots of cool stuff going on there in the fantasy line. But much more interesting to a lot of people is Warpath. The rules have been tweaked again and again and again, and they're actually getting to the stage where they're a lot better than the original alpha rules. There are still some problems with it for me personally, but if that's your sort of game, they're a really solid set of rules, and they're ironing out most of the bugs. I think with both Kings of War and Warpath, playing with a chess clock is really going to make the game sing and give them a lot of nice little tension and make a lot of sense of the way they've structured the game. But what's more interesting to people are probably the figures. Now, Beasts of War have done some nice coverage of Warpath just this weekend, just past, and some of the figures are simply amazing. Other figures are, yeah, they're okay. They're due. The Orcs, or the Marauders as they're known, a little bit of a mixed bag. Some of the figures I think look really good. Some of the figures I'm a bit, not sure. A little bit disappointed. But it's early days. They haven't released too much information to keep us on our toes. And definitely one to keep your eye on. And no matter what, the figures are very good when you consider how much they are. Mantic are very good at getting you quite a lot for your money. They're not the cheapest, but they're pretty damn fine, I have to say. So I've got a lot of time for Mantic, as you well know, and I really look forward to seeing further announcements from them. Unfortunately, at the same time, a certain other game firm decided to announce its new game, and this didn't go down quite so well. It all started off with paranoid secrecy, or marketing secrecy, who can tell, which was a little bit irritating. And rumours started to come out that this new top secret project was a much loved game from yesteryear, which was soon quashed. So that was the first disappointment. The second disappointment was an incredibly cheesy trailer, which didn't really tell you anything and was pretty rubbish, I have to say. However, they did release a second trailer, which, while still a little bit cheesy and a little bit rubbish, actually was much more intriguing and did actually show you the product. Now, I'm sure by now you know what I'm talking about, and it's Games Workshop's Dreadfleet. Now, the product, I have to say, looks lovely. You've got a really nice battle mat, great texture on it to give you a nice seascape, a load of plastic scenery, and a load of ships. Now, it's a little bit vague, but I believe it's 10 battleships and then lots of little ships. Price-wise, it's a little bit more than I'd be happy with, but is actually not that bad when you start looking at it. I believe it's £70, and overseas, unfortunately, it's horribly expensive. In Australia, is getting gouged something horrendous by the sounds of it. Is this game going to fly? Well, no, because it's a naval game, but we'll see. I think it's going to sell, because the figures are pretty nice, I have to say. Unfortunately, it's a standalone game with its own scale, and it's limited run, and it's expensive. Now, people say, oh, you say it's expensive, but, well, yeah, it is, I'm afraid. It's £70, which is a lot of money, especially when people don't have much. Now, if you take Uncharted Seas, for instance, yes, it might end up being about the same price to get two forces, but you can get into the game for £20, basically, and then build from that. And that's one of the things that concerns me a bit about Dreadfleet. However, look at the prices that are going for Space Marine, and as I say, the figures do look good. If the gameplay is awesome as well, yeah, they're going to sell it, no trouble. So I hope it does do reasonably well, but not too well. I don't like limited edition things, and I'll rant about that in a little while, actually. Right, let's move away from that and talk about role-playing games. Now, Pelgrane Press continue to do great stuff. I believe the Dying Earth role-playing game is sort of up and running and available again now. And there's been some really cool stuff coming out for Trail of Cthulhu as well. But what's interesting to see is their sci-fi take of role-playing is also now available, and that's going to be called Ashen Stars. Now, this is one of the first games in the Gumshoe system that I haven't seen as a beta, actually. I saw both Trail of Cthulhu and also Mutant City Blues as beta. I was on the beta test team. Ashen Stars looks intriguing. Will I pick it up? Possibly, but unfortunately my role-playing group has fallen away, as I've said several times, so I'm not really buying too much, which is a little bit of a shame, because Cubicle 7 have announced Lord of the Rings, and I believe it's still on pre-order at the moment, and you'll get a free PDF as well as the product. Looks awesome. I'm really crying over this, because I'm hoping I will be bought it for Christmas. Looks absolutely amazing, I have to say. Will I be disappointed? Possibly. However, the chatter I'm getting is that it looks pretty good and it's quite interesting. I believe it's going to be set kind of around the Lonely Mountain and the Wildlands region. So, an interesting take on a Lord of the Rings role-playing game. We'll have to see. Definitely want to get that at some stage, just to have a look at it, if nothing else. Talking of things to have a look at and want to have a go with, Polaris. I'm still reading it, trying to make sure I understand it. I mentioned it to my little role-playing group, and they seemed intrigued. I basically sold it to them as a kind of, you're an ice fairy in the far north, and you're doomed to die. And it did seem to spark some interest. So I'm hoping I will actually get that on the table fairly soon. Now, I have managed to get them into the D&D kind of 1974 edition, the original D&D. It's going all right. We had a character creation session, and we've now had two actual play sessions as well. So three sessions in total. I'm finding it a little bit frustrating because one member of the group, I think, is not really into it. After about an hour, they've had enough. However, the other player, like me, could happily play all day. So we'll have to see. I might have to look at maybe adjusting my DMing style, because I remember them being really into Call of Cthulhu. It might be the sort of, you go down a corridor, you kick in a door, and this is what you see, and you kill it and grab their loot type of gameplay isn't what they want. I'm trying to do a little bit more role-playing and have monsters try and parlay with them and surrender and yield and stuff. And that's proved to be fairly successful. But that's proven to be a little bit frustrating and hard work as a DM. Plus, as I say, we've been doing it, what, 2-3 months now? We've played three times. So, yeah, a little bit of a slog on that. Now, my final thing about role-playing games is obviously Traveller, my other great game that I really love. Now, interestingly, I had an email talking about a CD update, which they're doing as a special offer. I was very pleased to see this, and I wanted to buy it. Unfortunately, the shipping's a little bit pricey just for that one CD, so I'm going to have to save up the cash to maybe buy a couple of the other products, for example, Twilight 2000. So if you're a big fan of Traveller, the original version, get yourself over to... over to the web page and get ordering. There's some really cool stuff on there, including pretty much the entire Traveller product up to, but excluding the Mongoose version. Right, well, that's great. Well, I'm going to take a little break now. Now, when I come back, I'm going to be tackling a game I've been thinking about talking about for a while and being a little bit afraid to approach, mainly due to the fact that I'm fairly new to it. So I'm sure a lot of what I'm going to say is going to upset the grognard. So if I do that, obviously let me know, but try not to be too rude, because the game I'm going to be talking about is the monster known as ASL, or Advanced Squad Leader. So let's take a break, and when we come back, I'll be talking to you about ASL.
Quick, shut that door, man.
As if that's going to stop it.
Look, it's not my fault the elder sign didn't work.
That's because it's shaped like a star.
No, it's shaped like a tree.
Star!
Tree!
Star! Well, it's too late now. We're the last ones.
What about Lady Hetherington?
She set on fire, then exploded.
And Father O'Leary?
He plucked out his own eyeballs and ate them.
Damn! I wish I'd visited Yogg-Sothoth.com more often.
Yogg-Sothoth.com?
Yes, you know, that Call of Cthulhu website. Jolly useful. It's got forums, news, even interviews with the great and the undead.
Oh, I do wish you hadn't said that.
Oh, my lord! Stay away from me, you horror! No!
Well, you'll not take me! What? No! Please, no!
Yogg Radio, a Cthulhu podcast from Yogg-Sothoth.com.
Hello and welcome back. Right, well, I'm going to be talking about ASL, or Advanced Squad Leader. Now, I should point out that I'm a bit of a noob, and there are lots of other great resources out there which should give you much more information. I'm a big fan of Board Game Geek, and I recommend you go check out there, although there are a couple of other websites that are better, in theory, resources for ASL than that. One of them, of course, is Desperation Morale, really good little website that gives you some information about all the various products out there and some play aids and so on. And in addition, you have the rather wonderful podcast dedicated to ASL, the Two Half Squads. They've done over 50 shows now, and I get a lot of enjoyment listening to those guys. They got a great sense of humour and you know, really know their stuff. Yes, they do make the odd error, but, you know, they happily admit to that. And I got a lot of time for that show, so go check them out. They're a great bunch of guys. Now, what is Squad Leader? Well, Squad Leader, actually, officially, is the original game, which came out in 1977 and was pretty much just infantry. Really good little set of rules. Still very popular even today, and people sometimes argue they prefer to play Squad Leader over ASL, and I can see some of the arguments for that. However, there were a little bit of weird quirks in there, and also the product itself is fairly limited compared to the newer product. Now, Squad Leader itself did get expanded by various little game boxes, and I think the last one was GI Anvil of Victory in 1981, but by then the rules had become a little bit of a mess because each box added extra bits and tweaks and even totally changed the rules in many ways and added a lot of new counters and was starting to go in the direction of ASL, I guess. But yeah, it all became a little bit of a mess, so Avalon Hill went back to the drawing board and, working from the DNA of SL or Squad Leader, they brought out ASL, and that came out, I think it was 85, and it was actually a rules binder and a module called Beyond Valor, and you needed both to play the game. Now, Beyond Valor was the Russians versus the Germans, effectively, and it's the absolutely essential product to play the game. So if you want to get into ASL, you need to pick up the rule book and Beyond Valor. Now, well, Avalon Hill, unfortunately, aren't with us anymore, but before they went under, they brought out lots of extra modules allowing you to play in different theatres with different nationalities, and this is both a strength and a weakness of the system. It means, in theory, if you want to play the French, you just pick up Croix de Guerre and away you go. The reality, though, was that a lot of them referred to each other. So, for example, you might find if you wanted to play the French, you actually needed to buy the British to get some of the tanks, for example, and maybe you needed to buy the Americans as well to get some of the other tanks, and you might need the overlays from this product and the maps from that product. So you get into this thing called ASL dependency, which makes the game a little bit of a pain. And to be honest, if you want to play ASL, you need to really to buy everything. But there you go. So what started off as a strength, I think they got a little bit wrong. They should have made the product self-contained. But that's, you know, too late to do much about that now. Now, unfortunately, as I say, Avalon Hill ran into problems and went under, and Hasbro are the current holders to the rights for ASL. However, MMP are the people who bring out the product, and the reason is they've basically sub-licensed it from Hasbro. And in 2001, they cleaned up the rulebook and reissued it as the second edition. I think they probably ought to do a third edition, but I'm not going to waste too much breath on that. I think that's going to be a very reluctant job for them to do. Now, the second edition, obviously, is a much better option than the first edition. It's got a lot of errata put in there. However, over the years, extra bits and pieces have been found, and one of the most horrendous jobs you've got is to actually bring your second edition up to spec with the current errata. But it's a good place to start, and to be honest, you can play the game without bothering with your errata, apart from, I believe they did change the bocage and wall advantage rules quite significantly, and you probably need to grab hold of those. Now, the great advantage of the binder format is that you can download replacement pages from MMP's website and basically just print them off and replace the pages in your binder. Unfortunately, you might also need to apply these things called sticky errata, where you print it out, cut it out, and stick it on to overwrite the rules underneath with the new current errata, and that's what I'm currently doing to my rulebook, is going through and trying to update it with all the sticky errata. And it is a bit of a thankless task, I have to say. And I think MMP could do a little bit of a better job about that. And in fact, a lot of people like to fling things MMP's way. There are all sorts of problems with stuff being out of print or out of stock, having limited run, so if you don't buy it quickly, it goes out of stock and potentially then out of production. The product's can be seen as quite expensive and very complex, and as I say, particularly the errata. The errata is something that I think MMP really need to sort out. So there's lots of things there that make it difficult to get into the game. Now, recognising this, MMP brought out the starter kits, and that's pretty much where I got heavily involved with Squad Leader. Now, the starter kits, I believe, was 2004, and they brought out Starter Kit 1, which was infantry. Starter Kit 2 also came out, and that was artillery. And then finally we had Starter Kit 3, which was your tanks or armoured fighting vehicles. There is effectively a Starter Kit 4 out now, which is the expansion set. Now, that, from what I can tell, is in theory the most up-to-date copy of the rules, some scenarios and some counters, but you don't get a box or a dice with that, so you're probably best buying at least Starter Kit 1, and then maybe buying the expansion if you don't want to get too heavily involved in the game. If you want to be really keen, you buy all the various Starter Kit bits and pieces, and then if you're really keen, you get into the full ASL, and a lot of people would say that's the way you should go. Now, the starter kits have proved, I think, to be a little bit controversial. I think when they brought out Starter Kit 1, people didn't have a big problem because it was a nice cheap product for less than £30. You had a game that was totally self-contained, great fun, and gave you a really good flavour for the Squad Leader rules. When they started bringing out lots of extra bits, including the announced historical module, which isn't out yet, people started to get a little bit anxious. Part of the reason is a lot of people saw the starter kits as being a great introductory product, but now they're worried that it's sort of like a parallel production, a simplified, a kind of ASL light, if you like. And that has caused a little bit of people rumbling on the internet, with, you know, waste of time on resources and so on. Now, I don't have such a big problem with that. As I say, the biggest problem with full ASL is its availability is a bit of a problem. For example, I've just had my copy of For King and Country arrive. I had that on pre-order for 3 years. So effectively, for the last 4 or 5 years, if you'd wanted to play as the British, you couldn't. unless you were prepared to go on eBay and pay a large amount of money to pick up a second-hand copy. And that's not really going to help people into the game. So I think the starter kits were a really good idea, and I've got a lot of time for it. I can see some of the concerns, but it's not that big a deal. Now, what do you not get with starter kits? Well, the maps are a little bit simpler. They follow the same style now, because MMP now only produce the kind of starter kit look map, which is a thin-ish card rather than a mounted board. However, the starter kits have a little bit of extra simplification. They don't have quite so many features on the map, and for example, you might not have quite so many levels and stuff like that, and the line of sights for shooting are much, much more easily seen and done than on maybe the full boards. So that's one of the things you're missing, that the maps are slightly different. The counters are exactly the same. However, in the starter kits, you don't necessarily use all the bits and pieces on the counters. For example, you might not use spray and faff, which I believe is an underline under one of the numbers. Now, the other thing you need to be aware of with the starter kits, you're missing out on quite a lot of the extra rules. Now, some of those extra rules are, you know, not really used even in the full ASL set unless it's particularly required. For example, most scenarios you don't need to worry about a night parachute drop. However, on a scenario where that is the object is to parachute drop in, then you're going to have to read up the rules. So some of the extra rules you're missing is not such a big deal. But some of the rules, I think a lot of people would argue, are quite useful. So, for example, you don't have snipers in starter kits. You don't have bypass movement, which is an ability to skirt around the outside of a building rather than go straight through it, which means you can move quicker and therefore gain more ground and can actually change the balance of a scenario. If you're an attacker and you've only got, let's say, 5 turns to get from point A to B, obviously if you've got to go through buildings and that slows you down, it's going to be a lot harder to do than if you run around on the grass on the outside of the building. So that is something that a lot of people have moaned about missing. But I think the biggest thing that you're missing is the concealment tokens. Basically, in the full ASL, you can move around these tokens with question marks on, which means you don't actually know who's approaching you. I mean, it could be anyone. In fact, you could shoot at a concealment token, which potentially reveals what the token is, and discover that it's actually not a real token at all. It's actually a decoy. Some little scenarios will actually allow you to have dummy counters. In addition, you know, if you're sneaky, you can do some shooting and kind of retreat slightly so you're out of sight, gain concealment, which then makes you a little bit harder to shoot and all that good stuff. So the starter kits do miss out on quite a few bits, some more important than others. And there are a whole load of other things like heat of battle and extra different unit types and as I say, bypass, and there's all sorts of stuff. And there are several resources online showing you what you get in the full ASL versus the starter kit. Now, obviously, ideally, you're going to work your way towards full ASL. But as I say, it is a bit expensive, and it is a little bit complex. So if you want to dip your toe in the water, start out with these starter kits. Now, I must admit, I own the full ASL and the starter kit products. However, I've yet to actually play full ASL, mainly due to the fact I'm having to teach other people how to play. I think I have tracked down about 3 guys locally who actually play full ASL, so I'm going to have to get in contact with them. One of them is fairly close, I could probably get to them quite easily, but a couple of them are like a good 2-hour drive away, so we'll have to see what I can sort out there. Now, when it comes to ASL product, I've been saying how a lot of stuff's not available. Well, thankfully, MMP have hired a guy called Chaz, and that's really made a big difference. They've committed to try and keep the rulebook and Beyond Valor in stock as often as possible, including also the starter kit. So that's pretty good. And if you want to get into full ASL and the rulebook's out of print, it should get back into print fairly quickly. The other modules, they are proving a little bit slower on doing. For example, Yanks is currently out of production, but it is in the process of being redone, because rather ironically, MMP have never actually done anything with Yanks. Avalon Hill, before they went under, printed off a ridiculous amounts of copies, and I think it was less than 2 years ago that they finally sold out of the entire stock of Yanks. So, you know, good 10 years plus of stuff still sitting on the shelf, finally's got sold off. So that's going to take a little while to come back in stock. The other modules that are currently not available is Kreidiger, the Pacific Theatre, Gung Ho and Kodo Bushido, and I think there is a little bit of difficulty with some of the other modules as well. Now, Kodo Bushido and Gung Ho are not going to be remade. Instead, they're going to be bundled together into a new product called Rising Sun, and that should be coming out fairly soon. And rather shockingly, kind of 25 years later, they're looking at bringing out the final core module, which is, I believe, the Finns in the Winter War, and that's Hakapale. Let's see if they change the name. I think it's a little bit too late for them to decide to change the name, because it's been Hakapale for quite a while, but I might have totally butchered the pronunciation of that, so apologies if I have. So the core modules, work's going on there. I believe after the Rising Sun they're going to be doing Hollow Legions, which is kind of Africa and the Italians, and then after that hopefully we get the reissue of Yanks. Now in the meantime there's all sorts of exciting stuff. Obviously there's the Winter Offensive packs that come out around the time of the Winter Offensive tourney that MMP runs, there's the Action packs, the Journal, and a couple of historical modules in the works as well. Now, the starter kit's getting a historical module, which I think could prove to be a little bit controversial for some, but the full ASL's getting another historical module, which I believe's Festung Budapest. I'm really looking forward to that. That looks like an interesting little product. Currently still fairly easily available is Valor for the of the Guards. So if you're just getting into full ASL, I think the best value you can get out of the game system right now is to buy the rule book, buy Beyond Valor, and buy Valor of the Guards, and you should be able to play absolutely everything there without any problems at all. Obviously, For King and Country has just been reissued, so that's fairly readily available, and I would recommend, if you're based in the UK, you're going to want to play as the Brits at some stage, so pick that up as well. Whether you'll be able to play absolutely everything in that box, I'm not 100% sure. I think you can play most of it, but you might need some bits from, for example, Yanks, and the other module which came out before it, which I can't remember just now. But I'm pretty sure you can play pretty much all of For King and Country just with Beyond Valor. If, as I say, you're just getting into ASL, the other product you really should pick up every time you can is the Journal. The Journal comes with a huge amount of scenarios, many of which you won't be able to play, but it also comes with some really good articles, and I think it's probably the best value product that MMP put out. I really enjoy reading my journals and flicking through the scenarios. Now, the Winter Offensive packs, they are rather expensive here in the UK. I know over in the USA they're very cheap, they're, you know, $5-10 or something, they're hardly anything. But by the time they get over here to the UK with shipping and import duty and all that, they are a little bit expensive for what they are, but they are worth picking up because, of course, they include maps. And rather irritatingly, obviously, a lot of scenario writers will at some stage bring out an interesting scenario and it will be using a map that you don't own. So the other way to get around that is to buy the map pack. Now that includes all the maps that historically were out there. It's a fairly big and weighty and expensive package, but it might well be worth buying, particularly for the older players, I guess. For the newer players, it's a little bit harder to work out whether it is good value, because that means you're probably going to be buying all the products as MMP reissue them, and that means at some stage you'll have all the maps from the map pack anyway. But if you're desperate to play almost any scenario, the map pack will get you pretty much all the maps that exist on kind of older product that's currently out of stock. So lots of really great stuff there, and as I say, lots of great stuff in the pipeline. Now, let's say you've bought all this exciting stuff and you actually want to play. Well, obviously, you've got to try and hopefully get someone to teach you to play. There are some online resources for the new players now. Jay Richardson, for example, has got some really good tutorials on Board Game Geek, and Joe Stedman's got some nice little YouTube clips and stuff. And there's all sorts of other resources out there. Definitely worthwhile looking into it. But when you get a little bit more into it, you might want to go along to a tournament. Now, there's the Winter Offensive tournament that MMP run, but there's also the Oktoberfest, or ASLOC, which I believe is coming up fairly soon in the US, October the 2nd to the 9th, I believe that runs. So that's going to be a real brain burner, you know, a week of ASL. Here in the UK, I'm aware of three tournaments. Heroes, which I believe is around March, Double One, which is in June, and the one that's just about to come up, I believe, is 27th to the 30th of October, and that's Intensive Fire. Now, this tournament might be a little bit less fun than it could be, because sadly, Ian Daedalus died, I think it was towards the end of July, in a plane crash. And he was a big ASL fan and also a historian. So I think the event's actually going to be having a little bit of a tribute to him. Yeah, and I believe they're going to unveil a plaque at the Bovington Tank Museum in his honour. So if you're going to that show, obviously you can go along to that. So my condolences to Ian Dalglish's family. And also, obviously, I'm sure his loss will be felt by a lot of people who knew him. I sadly never actually ran into him, but everything I've heard about him, he seems like a really top-notch guy. And he's got some really nice books that he brought out, and some various little bits and pieces for ASL as well. So that's a little bit of sad news. And my best wishes to his family and friends. So anyway, I hope that's given you a pretty good idea of ASL and some of the problems with it. It can take a while to play, and it is quite complex. However, if you start off with Starter Kit, it's not that hard to play the basics. It's very easy to forget all the things you need to do, because the turn structure is quite complex, with rallying and do you fire, then move, and then do you fire whilst you're moving, and as a defender, when do you fire, and should you move, and do I throw smoke? There's a whole load of stuff to think about, and in many ways that's what I like about the game. It's a real brain burner, I have to say. Some bits are a little bit wonky, some bits aren't necessarily very historically accurate, but it does give you a really good feel for the complexities of commanding your force to try and achieve your objectives, and all the different things you need to consider about, do I move or do I fire. And I think it gives you the essence of what World War II was around. And as I say, there are some cheesy tactics called ASL sleaze that you probably will get into as you get a little bit more advanced. For example, the infamous skulking and vehicle bypass sleaze, whereby you basically park a tank in front of a unit so they can't shoot your infantry, because they have to shoot the tank first, and they probably don't have too much chance of taking out the tank. So all sorts of little weird, wonderful things go on like that. But despite the cost, despite the complexity, despite some of the sleazy tactics, and despite that some of the frustration with dealing with a product that can be hard to get hold of, it's definitely worth getting into. I taught a guy how to play, hopefully not too incorrectly, and he hadn't really played too many games at all, let alone wargaming. And he really, really enjoyed it, and I think we played about three games in total before he sadly moved away. But he really enjoyed it, and come around and say, "Oh yeah, let's have a game of that." And what I found really amusing was we sat down, and I said, "Oh, did you enjoy that?" He said, "Yeah, that was really good. We'll play it next time I come around." And I said, "Well, how long do you think we were playing for?" He says, an hour, maybe a little bit over. And I said, no, we've actually been playing for 3 hours. Now, I think that's a great sign that a guy who's not really into gaming, he played his first ever game, he didn't realise 3 hours had passed, he absolutely loved it and asked to play it again. And I can't think of any better way of selling a game than saying, a game where you can just have time disappear, have a great hoot, and want to play it again. You can't ask for more. So my recommendation is, check it out if you haven't got it already. And obviously, Starter Kit 1 is probably the best place to go. I think some places have quite good stock of it, whereas others don't. I do remember Starter Kit 3 being very hard to get hold of for quite a while. But as I say, MMP are taking steps towards that, and they are reissuing stuff. Once you've actually got quite a few bits of the core rules, you might then want to check out a thing called Vassal, which is a kind of computerized version of ASL, and that will allow you to play online against opponents. And that's something I'm going to be looking into next, because obviously, as I say, with most of my opponents being moving away or quite a few miles away from me, it's probably going to be easier for me to do a lot of my play on Vassal. And as I say, if you want to find out more, check out Board Game Geek, check out MMP's website, Desperation Morale, and they have lots of links to other websites you can go check out. There are also a lot of third-party producers for product that's compatible with ASL. I'm saving my sanity by not getting involved in that. I only buy official MMP stuff, and it's pretty hard keeping up to speed with all that now, because despite MMP moving like a glacier in years past, just recently they brought out an action pack, a journal, a winter offensive, a little extra kind of scenario pack, a scenario reissue pack called Out of the Attic, and for King Country, and they've just announced a new action pack, and I believe they're working on the next journal, and of course Rising Sun. So they've gone from Glacial to Speedy Gonzales. Now, if you like the sound of ASL, but you decide maybe like other competitors, well, obviously there's Conflict of Heroes, there's the free print and play Valor and Victory, there's the newish game called Fighting Formations. These are all games that are similar but not quite the same, so you might want to go check them out. But I think you'd be doing yourself a big disservice. ASL has been around for over 25 years. It's massively popular, as I say, really good little game system. I say little, it's massive. The rule book, if you read it cover to cover, is, you know, several hundred pages and a little bit dry. But the actual rules themselves do make a lot of sense once you get your head around them, and the flow of the game, I think, is really wonderful and delightful. So I really look forward to getting good enough to go along to some of the tourneys, and we'll see how things go for me. Really looking forward to some of the reissues that MMP are working on and what they're going to bring out in the future. So very pleased to say I'm a big fan of ASL. Right, well, I think I won't waste too much more of your time. So before I go, there is a few bits of news that came out after I'd recorded the first part of the show. For one, I was totally shocked to hear an announcement by Beast of War that they're actually going to be appearing on UK television. So should be available on Freeview, Free Saturn Sky and all that. More details when I hear about it. That's a very exciting development. Backers continues to do great stuff with their 6mm, and they've actually brought out their Ancients rule set, and that's going to be Pulmus SPQR, and that's going to be a very focused set of rules, and I believe the first set of rules for their Ancients period is based around basically the British versus the Romans. Cool Mini or Not also announced some really cool new stuff for their confrontation reissues via Legacy, and really looking forward to the next set of waves coming out. They look really interesting in particular. And also, some photos have emerged of the next set of World War One stuff for Wings of Glory. And it looks like it's going to be the bombers that should have been coming out from Nexus. So great stuff there. So, as I say, I hope you enjoy the show, and until next time, happy gaming.